I'm sorry that I can't take you. In the morning, going to Chicago, and I'm sorry that I can't take you. Ain't nothing in Chicago for a sweet little boy like you to do. 'Cause when I get there, I'm gonna drink mash, I'm gonna talk trash, gonna spend my money in the morning. Drink mash, talk trash, I'm gonna spend my money in the morning. Gonna have me one hell of a time till I see me a rooster sitting right in the middle of Rush Street crowing for the dawning.
Ernestine Anderson with Going to Chicago Blues. That's from her 1985 album, When the Sun Goes Down. She's one of my favorite singers. And brings back to your mind what it used to be like not too long ago when we had places you could go and be fully entertained with real live music. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And I'm sounding calm. I'm making an effort to sound calm, but I'm not. Because as of today, this country, the United States of America, is that much closer to total and utter chaos. And what is really remarkable is that we're all calm. They've won this one. This president can do whatever he wants to do. Everybody recognizes now that he is out of control. He's mad. And still, there's calm in the land. It means that something is wrong with us too. We have descended into that netherworld where we don't have to worry anymore. Just let him do whatever he wants to do. And his mind is set on destruction, and we have become accustomed to it. We have taken the bait and swallowed it whole, and the country is just going on. Even the military, oh, we have a general here and a general there. They're very upset, but not all of them are, certainly not to the extent that they would say, all right, enough is enough already. They too have quieted down and by example are telling us, look, just calm down for a minute. It really isn't as bad as you think. And those who think it is as bad as we think are telling us, well, we can't control it. We can't control this president. So let's see. We go with the flow. We can't do anything. So the country, as of today, officially has gone to hell in a handbasket. With people telling us all the things that can't be done, all the things that they're prepared not to do, and just, you know, take it easy. Don't get too alarmed. We'll see our way out of this. Just keep it together. And all will be well. Well, today is today is Free Your Mind Friday. You can see mine is already shot. I can't even remember what day it is, but it's Free Your Mind Friday, and the forum belongs to you to express your views on things. But let's not waste the time in talking about silly things. Let's really hunker down on serious issues today and remind the community that this is what it's for. We should be talking to each other about things that matter to all of us. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Let's use the time purposefully. We need it. We don't want to talk about, you know, things that don't matter right now. We want to talk about things that matter to us as a community, to us as a nation. We are in a very, very bad situation. And I'm not saying it just to scare people. This is the reality. We are in a very bad situation. And the people and institutions that we are looking to provide some kind of direction, some kind of instruction as to how best to deal with it. Because again, I say, despite the fact that all things look normal, I tell you, as of today, you could forget that. We've seen it coming in dribs and drabs, but it is here, totally undiluted now. It's very clear. This is not a democratic society today. The president has gone off the rails. And if you look at the attitude of the president and his so-called administration, there's a certain despotic joy that they communicate today. And that is, we can do whatever we want with whatever we want, the resources of this land, and there's nothing you can do about it. Jay from New York, you're starting us off today.
Utrice, how are you today? I hope good as always.
Well, I'm not, actually. I'm really concerned. I'm really concerned about what, as of today, what our demeanor ought to be. It's not a calm day. It's not a regular day. It's a very bad day today. Although they are doing everything they possibly can do to persuade us that cool minds are prevailing and people are seeing to the needs of the general population. It's not a good day today. Although technically, every day you're alive, people say is a good day.
Do you ever think that people on the whole, don't realize the situation that we are in this country with this man in the White House. It seems to me that the American people do not understand the gravity of this man's actions and his behavior.
Well, we'll all learn it. We'll all learn about the gravity of his behavior very soon. Well, when you see people marching through your town in tanks and issuing orders, and you see things being turned upside down, and you become very clear that you are not in charge. You're not in charge.
Well, I don't see that happening. I disagree with you in regards to that. You know, my question and the reason why I was calling you for is because I just wanted to get your perspective on why it is that when you have a blatant situation, what's going on with this G7 summit and his just total disregard of the emoluments clause, is there anything in place in this country to put a stop to it? Because I just read something earlier about that the only way this could be stopped is by Congress. But then when I think about it, let's say Congress put forward a bill. Wouldn't he have the right to veto the bill? I mean,
Do you understand? Here's the issue. We have run out of time. We have no time to implement anything according to the old order about Congress, and they take a vote, and then, none of that. He has taken a decision. His decision is, this is my country. You just happen to be living in it, and I am doing what I want to do. When a guy could
That's not reality, Utrice. I totally disagree with you on that.
Okay.
Because, and the reason why I disagree with you is that even though other members of the hierarchy, Senate and Congress, aren't doing certain things, I just don't think that they would allow him to go as far as you perceive him to go in without putting a stop to it.
He went beyond the boundaries 2 years ago.
Yeah, but he's gone beyond, I would say, in superficial things that may, make his pockets fatter, but I don't think that he's really gone beyond, in a sense, to hurt the structure of society to where as you would implement something like that.
How could you say a thing like that? We've been talking since he got into office about all the things he's cutting. I mean, now they have
where you're missing the point is, Utrice, the reality is that most people in the Senate and the Congress agree with it. They don't have no real issue with it. That's not their issue.
No, but it's not just the people in Congress. It's the people who should be in the streets by now.
They're
getting ready to wield an axe against almost a million school children.
When was the last time people were in the streets?
I'm saying, you look at a country, at least we have a basis for comparison. It was never perfect, but we have a basis for comparison. This president, everybody could agree. Whatever it is you disagree about is fine. But you could agree that this presidency is not normal. It hasn't been run normally from day one. We have a resurgence of a way of life that we have always feared as a nation. We don't want this to come.
But Utrice, the thing that you're like, I don't think you get, but you're not understanding clearly is, when you talk about when have people been in the streets, what are the three last biggest issues that have put people in the street? The
That's Vietnam my point. War. People have become so lax.
You got to let me finish the point.
People have become so uninvolved that is normal now. It's normal now.
But today, I'm telling you,
begins a whole new chapter. And don't be surprised.
Well, I would hope that we would be in the streets. I would like to see us be in the streets and push back against them. But I got to be a realist and say that there isn't a defiant issue to really put people in the streets that the collective understands. They understood Vietnam. They understood civil rights. They don't understand this, what's going on with the president.
Okay.
The American public, and they don't have a difference of opinion there.
And I will say it again. We should have learned from our experience in Vietnam, our Vietnam era, because the people were lackadaisical. They didn't get into the streets when their sons started dying. They didn't do that.
But Utrice, what Donald Trump is doing is not an issue in the minds of everyday people to get in the street. I'll give you a perfect example. Someone like Allie want to be in the streets because she understands it. But Joe from Michigan, that's a steel worker, he doesn't understand it because this guy's under the illusion that this crowd may get him a job or get him called back to work. See, this is where we are not associated with what's going on.
No, I don't think it is that people don't understand it. And even if they don't understand it, I'm saying the time has come when they will have to make a decision whether to understand it or not. They live in this country, and demands are going to be made of all the people in this country to make sacrifices to support the unknown agenda of this president. Thanks, Jay, for getting us started today.
Have a good day.
Thank you. Henry from Chicago, you're on the air.
Hey, Utrice, how's it going?
Okay. As you can tell, I'm not all that enthusiastic today.
Yeah, that was a very slow okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
All right. I hope you and the PRN and Lead Story audience have a wonderful and productive weekend.
Thank you.
What I wanted to present on the table is the recent Chicago public teachers here in Chicago. Now, I don't know how much traction this is getting nationwide. I know it's big news here, but you know, the one thing that I think about, you know, from the outside of this, not supporting, you know, not on the side of like either CPS or the teachers union, is we need to redo our education system like yesterday, because this is a common theme, and especially here in Chicago, whereas, you know, this is like our last strike was like 7 years ago, that's basically recent. So we have to do something as citizens of this city, and parents who have children in these schools. And I'm going to tell you this, I don't have my child in a Chicago public school because of the fact that I don't trust them to educate my child. So there has to be something done with this. This whole thing has to be redone. It literally has to be. And I'm sure that I'm not alone, or Chicago's not alone in these particular problems in public education. I'm pretty sure this is happening in New York, in L.A., Houston, and any other, you know, city with over 500,000 people in it. So there has to be something done about this. We can't go on like this. We really can't go on like
this. But you realize, Henry, you have heard that refrain several times before, and it hasn't been done. And we literally, in the meantime, while we're talking and saying something has to be done, we have lost several generations who should have benefited from a better education. You disagree?
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, I do. And there have been plans, or let me say like this. There have been independent schools that have come up within the city. And most of them had to either end up failing or close down because of the fact that we just didn't have enough people to support them. Because what happens is that the public school system would work around that by, you know, implementing charter schools or, you know, implementing a turnaround school where then all of a sudden now these parents want to put their children into these particular schools. And for some reason or another, when we do come up, even if it's a small group of us that come up with a school, you know, somehow the public school system would do something to sabotage it.
But don't we have examples of the same thing going back to the 1800s and even earlier, when no schools were available at all? Mm-hmm. And yet, people established their own educational system. So why have we come to this point where we are looking and depending on a system that is not working as the only answer for how to deliver educational services to our children?
Well, I think the problem becomes that they make us depend on them. And I'm talking about in a sense of not just, oh, I need to send my child to a public school. It's more of a, if you don't send your child to the school, then we're going to charge your child for, there's truancy laws and when you want to establish, say, like a homeschool, they make you, you know, go through leaps and bounds to do such a thing. And this is what I'm saying. There are some active parents who are trying to, you know, start like homeschooling rings where, you know, they can educate the children themselves within their own community. But they're making them jump through hoops to just establish something like that. And I think
it depends on what is important to the community. What is the community's priority? How is it that at the same time, and you are correctly pointing out the problems in education that we are experiencing now, I can point you to hundreds of schools all over the country that are doing just fine. It's not about, you know, a big show of what they have and the support they have. They're just absolutely committed to the idea that their children deserve a good or even excellent education, and they go about getting it done. How is it? They don't even vote. And they have excellent schools.
And you know what? You're right. So, you know what? Maybe I didn't bluntly say this, but black children within our neighborhoods are suffering through dilapidated schools because over here on the south and west side of Chicago, that's the problem that we're having. Now, you go up to the north side and south shore, those schools are just perfectly fine. But our black children are not getting the adequate education from the public school system, especially here in Chicago. So there has to be, we have to formulate something, I would say system-wide, because like I said, I gave examples of certain groups of peoples and communities who have attempted to do this, but there has to be a system in place where we can get these group of people together to form our own educational system. Not just one school, but a bunch of schools where we can put our black children in to be properly educated.
And that would be perfectly in line with the history of black education in the United States. Not one black school started out under the aegis of a board of education. Black people organized their own schools. I can bring an example. It comes to mind in Brooklyn. I used to do a lot of stuff in the school system there.
Mm-hmm.
You would go to a black school, elementary school, and you will see two different things happening. One was, and I remember him all the time, he was a school superintendent. You would think that this man was a supervisor of schools. Every school had to be spick and span clean. And he wasn't kidding. You could actually see your shadow as you walked down the hall. That's how clean all of his schools were. He was not an administrator. He was a guy who made sure that these services were delivered to schools. Everything was spick and span clean. Roy Canton was his name, I should have mentioned. And without exception, you go to any school within his district, that's what you get. On the other hand, I used to run a volunteer program, I did, teaching children how to read and be reporters and whatnot. And the principal of the school was elated because it had never been done before. I didn't think that that was a big deal. But when she said to me that, you know, we've never done this before, and these are the slow children. The slow children. There was nothing about those children that was slow.
Mm-hmm.
I went several stratospheres into the sky with rage. Our system is irreparably broken. And it is not anybody else's job. I keep saying that. It is our job. It is our job. In every community where the schools are functioning well, you have direct involvement. And you have an alternative system designed to meet the needs of the community. And we just waste time. School is just a place where people go to collect a check. And, you know, they go home and then they start again tomorrow. We have not confronted the fact that we have fallen down on the job, seriously fallen down on the job, leaving it to others as if we entrust them with our children's futures. And that's okay. We're content with that. But look where we end up.
That's true. I can't really argue, but I'm just like, where do we go from here?
Well, the idea is, where is here? We have come to this question many, many times, and we refuse to answer it comprehensively. And as if our children's future is something to become really involved with and worried about. That's our job, whether you have children or not. It is our duty to see to it that at least in this aspect, their futures are secure. But we're not doing the job. We're looking for government, the same government that is dumbing these children down. We're looking to that government to lift them up, which is crazy.
I agree with you. I totally. And then even the elements that was used in the past, you know, through the system, like the parent teachers, they're getting rid of that. So there's like no total involvement in
everything would happen that people allow to happen. That's the point I'm making. Of course they will get rid of it. If something is beneficial to people you do not have high regard for, then it's doing the job. You don't expect them to embrace you. You coming in there and say, what? You don't know how to write? Let's get a program in here that's working that will teach our children how to read and write. That was my approach. My approach was, we will run this pilot program, and it was phenomenally successful because I had a young woman, a teacher, and she was all into this program. The parents were. The principal comes to me and says, oh, this is such a good program. And you know, it's because these are our slow children. I wanted to smack that woman in her face. These are our, nothing in my interaction and experience with the children indicated any kind of slowness. The slowness was the principal. You see?
Well, you know, Trees, that's one of the people involved. And I don't get it where we continue to put our children into this system. I mean, your experience in the public education system, and then I've had experience in the public education system where they label these kids, like you said, the slow children. Like, what is that? What does a child have to think when you're calling them slow?
A slow child. She was really telling me about herself. You have a slow system. You are the principal of a slow system. Nothing, not in one instance did I encounter somebody who was slow. Not one. The principal was the problem. The approach to education was the problem.
Oh yeah. And here in Chicago, the person who heads the system is not even called a superintendent. It's called a CEO, which means that it's a business now.
What is the business?
And this is the only business I know where it fails to do what it's supposed to do.
Yes, and they will put more money so that it could fail some more. If you went into that situation with an innovative program, with a whole new attitude, including toward the children, where you value them and you lift them up every day and you work with them, you've got brilliant kids on your hands. So I've been through that. And the problem is right where it should not be. The people who are delivering these services, the people who would swear to you that the educational system needs to be fixed. They're not saying that they're fixing it. They just say the educational system needs to be fixed.
Thanks for calling in today.
Thanks, Henry. Thanks for your call. Clara from Philadelphia. Haven't heard from you in a while, Clara. How are you?
I'm not well, and I'm not doing well in this process. I agree with what you're saying. I think your original statement got kind of sidetracked in the last two callers. The first caller was denying reality. And the second caller narrowed it down to one specific area of our lives. I'm not saying that this was done deliberately. It's a perspective. It's a reason that we're in a situation, in the predicament that we're in, I think, is that we've allowed ourselves to be educated, de-educated to the point where we can't see the trees for the forest. And I mean it. They can't see. People see items that they have done to us. Items of concern. The schools. The jobs. Nobody talks anymore about the wars because, well, I don't know why. They don't talk about the wars. The wars are what are draining us from our rights as citizens. They're stealing. We're being stolen from. Now, what can we do? Once you've been defeated, you got to know you've been defeated. If you don't know it, then you're at risk of being totally destroyed. You are right. They have won. Our next step, if there's going to be one, would be to decide how we're going to live in a sustainable way. And a man called in. I don't know his name. I think it was David. A few days ago, because I haven't listened in a couple of days, said
David
what's right.
Flint.
We need to stop doing what we're doing. We have power to stop this and stop that. And I've said it many times. Once you support this system, you are doomed, and we continue to support it. He talked about massive strikes. Staying home, everyone, massive strikes, denial of paying taxes, things like that, big things that many people would have to do. You can't do this on an individual basis. The stores are closing, the major stores. We got to help them get closed instead of going down and indulging in those super sales they throw at us. Last night, I was in a cab, and the driver was an African guy from, I think he said Sierra Leone, and I always have conversations with these people that are driving me, and I want to engage them. Anyway, so he said to me, I asked him about his life. I said, do you have children? He said, yes. I said, you know, he has six children. They're all at home with him and his wife. His job is to, he said, my job, after many, you know, I had to ask these questions. His job is to work and provide the basics for his family. His wife's job is to take care of the children. Now, how often do you hear that? From Americans, from the mainstream Americans, out there working two and three jobs, having credit cards to buy this junk. You see what I mean? It's an attitude. He talked about taking the children to school. He talked about what his reading to the children. This is one family. He has a very limited income, as far as I know. I don't know what else is going into that household, but from what he told me. But we're afraid. It's like people are afraid. There's a book that my son gave me called Anti-Fragile. And it really talks about living in a mode of stoicism. Deciding what you want in your life, what makes sense, not caring what other people are doing. Building your life in a spiritual, basically spiritual, social, and community way. And I just want to say one more thing. I think the reason we're in this predicament is because from what I can see, I can see from way back, it's easier to understand. I remember that in the 50s, things looked bright. The situation, although we were in some form of, I didn't understand as much as I do now, but look, we were going forward. And then the civil rights movement came to be in the 60s. My attitude toward that was, okay, if that's what people think they want. But my concern was we were giving up so much. It seemed like we were doing so much more for ourselves. We didn't need to be in there, if you know what I mean. Anyway, it went along, and I went along with it to a certain extent. Then when the 70s hit, all hell broke loose as far as I was concerned. I saw what was going on. Beginning of the end. So people have been de-educated and miseducated since about the mid-60s. This, how many generations is that? People can't think. I have grandson who went to Haverford College. Used to be, my cousin and I were the same age, used to be a great school. He came out of there. That boy can't think. He knows facts. He allows his child to be vaccinated. He thinks I'm kind of a fool. And that's the situation we're in. So I'm saying it's over, and it needs to be over. And it's going to be hell. And we don't know what's going to happen afterwards. But maybe these young kids, the younger millennials, and maybe the next, I don't know what they're called. What's the next generation? The kids who are out there fighting for saving the planet. What is, I don't know that. I don't know that generation. Anyway, maybe that generation will be anti-fragile. They'll learn to take care of themselves. They'll learn to make things. They'll learn to sustain themselves. They'll confront the system in a way that makes sense, that's effective. I think our job is now to support those people.
Well, we have to have some kind of a plan, and we have to have some kind of hope.
I have
and
hope for
I'm
them
saying,
if we will do it. Now, hope won't matter. It's as you said, or someone said. We have to take action. Hope doesn't help. We have to take action and support those children.
Well, at least you hope that people are getting it.
No,
they're
not going to get it.
Somehow.
They won't. They're too dumb. They're dumb people. We are dealing with dumb people. You got look, we are. You got to be real. Nobody sits around like this unless they're stupid. Let's face it. We got to call a spade a spade. And we older people need to support the kids. Let those other people, whatever they're going to do, I see them. They are absolutely useless. They're the people most of them want to just be and eat and watch TV.
Well, you put a lot on the table here to consider. Thanks so much for calling in. Thanks a lot, Clara. Stuart from California, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice. I won't ask
Hello.
You how you are. I know already. I apologize ahead of time. I need to ask you about something. I've been trying to find your... I forgot what your email was, and I couldn't find it on the internet, on PRN, or anything else. It was something I needed to ask you about your cancer, but I didn't think you might want to talk about it over the air. So, I couldn't, well, anyway, could you give me your email so I could ask you over the email?
Okay. This is a ticklish situation. I am... at this moment, clearing out years of emails.
Oh.
And and suspending accounts because it just eats up your time.
Oh.
I'm talking.
Okay, well, I can make it quick then. I just needed to ask you about a cancer in the lungs. I had a situation, and I just wanted to know how that was going and what Gary had given you for that.
Okay. Just send something to leadstories@gmail.com.
All right.
That way I'll get it. But I'm reminding you, I'm really trying to get rid of all of these emails that are just stuck there.
Yeah.
I finally figured out that they weren't doing anybody any good. So.
Okay.
All right. So send it to leadstories@gmail.com.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for your show, and I hope you're doing a lot better with it.
It's our show. That's right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Stuart. Catherine from New York, you're on the air.
Hello, Utrecht. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, good. I was really impressed on how you opened the show today. The gravity of the situation, the state of our country. And judging, I'm not passing judgments. Everyone has their own point of view on everything. But what struck me was, as you have said, how lackadaisical everybody is. And the way people responded and said, how are you today? Have a happy, productive weekend. It's like you're saying our country is falling to pieces and no one's doing anything. Please try to keep your subject on topic. This is a serious matter. And people start talking about everything but the subject you wanted to address. And I think
to be fair, this is Free Your Mind Friday. It is up to
I understand that
everybody what they want to talk about.
As I said, I'm not passing judgment. What I'm trying to say is I want to talk about, you said it's a very bad day today. In your opinion,
for me.
I was thinking you meant in terms of what's happening in the White House and how the current president is able to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, with nobody to stop him. What is the solution to this? Aside from, it would seem the only solution is that the American people would finally say, hey, wait a minute. The government is supposed to work for the people and not have, for the first time in history, poor people paying higher taxes than the top 1% of the wealthiest people. And the police are being militarized. And they'll soon be... They already have military arresting civilians. They're not supposed to be able to do that on home land, as far as I know. I think you know more about that than I do, because I'm not as good at American history. I think we spoke once before. I grew up in Europe. I'm born in America, but I wasn't here for Vietnam and all that. I was a kid and I read about it and I didn't know what it meant. But when you said earlier, even parents whose children were being shot didn't rise up. What does it take for the American people to finally say, this is enough? And we have a kleptocracy. It's not a democracy. We're not a democracy, we're a republic. Most people think we're a democracy. We're a republic. And most people don't even know what the yellow fringe on the flag means. Admiralty law, which changes everything, even in a courtroom. The American people, compared to, let's say, people in Europe, are so much less informed about politics. they prefer to watch sitcoms and game shows. I think that we're very much a consumer society. I think part of what keeps people distracted from politics is the rampant consumerism and being distracted. You know, there are state-sponsored celebrities such as the Kardashians. They are White House approved. I don't know if many people know this, but the stories that run in the news every day, they're approved by the White House, certain stories every day. And they are, as one would call it, public interest, you know, gossip type stories. I don't know. I am rambling on. What do you think could help towards changing the state of affairs now? Or has it gone too far? I mean, now we're hearing about...
You said it. We need involvement. We need people to become aware not only of the situation, but where they fit in the situation.
Exactly.
Are they, the kind of people that could promote community action? Are they the kind of people who could set an example around, say, self-sufficiency? Where do you fit in all of this?
Exactly. That's a good point.
You have to be somewhere. Locate yourself somewhere in this struggle. But it is going on without us. And the more it goes on without us, the more we see that the target is us.
Well, you've heard of the theory of the frog in the slowly warming and boiling water. It isn't until the water's boiling that the frog thinks it's time to jump out, and it's too late. And that's what's going on now. It seems with each successive outrage, people say, oh, that's it, he's going to go down now. But no. Everyone says, oh, this is going to get him. No. And you cannot trust the polls. I mean, the media are run by, what, 3 or 4 different families. They control all the media. So I don't go for the left-right paradigm either. I think it's one bird with two wings. And in the end, the money has to be taken out of politics. Absolutely. But the only way to take down the U.S. is from the inside out. And that's what's happening. A house divided cannot stand. And promoting civil war is that's so dangerous, and that's what's happening now. And like you, I despair for what's happening. I never thought I would see our country come to this. And then to hear that the president is thinking of collaborating with Putin on national security for hacking, anti-hacking collaboration. I mean, that's the biggest joke of all. So that means all elections will be compromised. And but as you said, the secret of success is knowing one's limits. So what can each individual person do in their corner of the world or their corner of society, even if it's small little things or big things, whatever they want to do. But every person, like you said, has to make a decision whether they understand the situation or not. They have to decide whether they want to understand the situation or do they want to believe in empty promises.
I thank you for calling in and sharing your thoughts. They are profound, and we should consider them very carefully because we are at the point where we need to have people like you remind us that it is not a spectator sport. It's not a spectator sport out here. You've got to get involved, and you have to do that now. Thanks for calling in. Ed from California, you're on the air.
Yeah, I would agree with your previous caller. We got to get the money out of politics. That's how we got Trump. I'll be going back to stand-up comedy in January. I lost my wife at the end of July, and I was her caregiver for the last 9 years. So unfortunately, I was not able to participate without listening to Gary calling in. I was able to do that, but working 12-hour shifts this last year to take care of my wife. She had leukemia and stuff, so it's been very difficult for me to get out, protest, go on the stage, and tell the truth about what's really going on. But I will be doing it in January. And money in politics is how we got Trump. Hillary wouldn't have been any better. and that's what people need to be aware of, and they're not. And everybody has their own voice that they listen to, whether it's MSNBC or whether it's not listening at all. And then there's also our electronic devices that we seem to be obsessed with. We're also obsessed with screens. I walk everywhere where I go shopping for all these farmers markets, and I see people walking their dogs, and they're not really walking their dogs. They're walking their electronic devices, and the dog is along for the walk. So there's distractions. People aren't on all the same page. So I'm going to try to get out there and make people aware so that we don't have all this ignorance. That's what I'm going to be trying to do. And I'm a vegan, and I'm trying to do my part with the environment. But these last 2 months I've been grieving over somebody I've been with for 36 years, so that's why I hadn't gotten out there yet to participate, as you say. But I will be out there in January, and I'm just getting everything together now, all my truths and all my humor. But I'll be out there doing what I can to make people aware that we are on the edge of insanity. That's all I have to say.
Well, thank you. Thanks so much for calling in and offering your point of view. That brings us to the end of our program today. But it's not the end of our dialogue. So we will continue this because I tell you, what I'm seeing is frightening. It really is frightening. And I don't easily get scared, but I'm scared. I totally admit it. I'm very scared about where things are going and how we are not reacting. I do hope that we take some time and assess things and find a place where we can be useful. Find a place where we can connect with each other in trying to be useful. It's the weekend. As usual, I advise that you take it easy. Surround yourselves with people who bring meaning to your life, people who have great positive influence and impact on your life. And really, take it easy, because where I am, it's only a push and shove before I go over the cliff if I don't watch it. So I have to watch it. Love you. See you on Monday. Bye-bye.
Going to Chicago. I'm sorry that I can't take you. In the morning, going to Chicago, and I'm